السلام عليكم.
ني هاو.
مع السلامة.
أوي. هالو.
ني
سلام.
هالو.
Hello, hi, how are you? Welcome to International Student Stories, where we share authentic stories from international students studying in the U.S. My name is Simon Hamlin. I am your guide on this journey. Together, we get to explore international students' dreams and passions and the impressive things they do to help shape our schools, society, and the world. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, I talk with the delightful Valeria Rivera, who hails from San Salvador, El Salvador. This spring, she'll earn her bachelor's degree in business administration and commercial design with a minor in art history from Lycoming College. Valeria opens up about overcoming her shyness to pursue her dreams, and we explore how making bold choices, facing challenges head-on, embracing her creative spirit, and recognizing the power of language set her on a successful path. This is part one of a two-part interview with Valeria Renee Rivera. And so there's a famous quote in Hamlet. It's, speak the speech, I pray you as I pronounced it to you trippingly on the tongue. And saying your name, Valeria Renee Rivera, it actually makes me want to get back on stage and perform Shakespeare again.
Oh, you don't even have my other last name. It's Rengifo. So Valeria René Rivera Rengifo.
Wow. That is even, it gets better. What was the last name again? The very last name?
Rengifo.
Spell that.
It's R-E-N-G-I-F-O.
Rengifo.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that.
Thank you. Even Spanish speakers struggle with it, so.
It's always amusing to me, like, hearing you say the name and just the speed and the enunciation that comes with it is so different, obviously, than me trying to say it. So, and I think it's actually very appropriate that we're talking about language, and we'll come back to that because, you know, you've talked a lot about how English, Spanish, and making those transitions and how it really impacted making friends and feeling comfortable in the U.S., how big of an impact that had. So we'll definitely come back to that. And you've said that you were extremely shy and insecure when you first came to the U.S., which prevented you from going for things you wanted to do. Is that fair to say?
I was very sheltered as a kid. I had very few friends growing up, and I went to a school that was basically lower school, middle school, high school all together, but the same people for 14 years of my life, which you would assume I would have met more people, but I didn't. Kind of stuck with like the six very close friends that are still one of my best friends. I don't regret that for a day of my life, but I was definitely very just scared of like coming up to people and being like, hi, what's up? That was something that never really felt natural to me. And even just like being in front of others and just like being in this like leadership position was always something so scary and overwhelming that I came to the US and I was like, well, here I am. I guess we're going to learn.
Yeah. So tell us real quick and in no particular order, all the social groups, career related efforts, schoolwork, and all the other passions you've been involved in over the past 3 to 4 years since coming to the US.
Ooh, it's a list. I decided to take some time off. You know, I was like, you know, I'm adjusting to a new country. Let me take some time to just like settle in. So I wasn't part of anything that first semester. But then my second semester, I started to just get involved like a lot. And I think that part of the reason why I got involved as to the extent that I did was because I started to feel lonely. I started to feel like it's more of a challenge to be here and like make that new social network than I thought it would be initially. And so that was kind of like a distraction, but it was also a way for me to get out there and like meet people. So beginning of spring semester, I rushed a sorority and I'm still part of that sorority. I'm part of Beta Phi Gamma. It's a local sorority. I met a ton of people through there, not only in my chapter, but also like, you know, with other Greek organizations. And the way that it works on my campus is the leaders at Lycoming are Greek. my sorority was filled with people from the campus activities board and student senate and this and that. And so that kind of like led me to go to other places that I wouldn't have otherwise. And so it started off of that. Throughout that semester, I was assigned as a tutor for the International Student Lab, Writing Center, and a few subject tutors, tutoring positions. Over the next few years, I worked for admissions, marketing, athletics. I worked for different positions in marketing, some in communications. I've also been part of the Campus Activities Board. I've been part of Circle K, which is a service club. I was part of that for about a year or so.
Did you cross country too?
I did.
Okay. So you did cross country.
I was a third division athlete for a year.
Okay, yeah.
Which is crazy to say because I've never been athletic.
Yeah.
But I was there. Yeah, that was my junior year. And I was part of Panhellenic, which is kind of like the best way that I can describe it is kind of like the student senate of sorority life. I was actually president until December of last year. So yeah, I've just been involved a lot.
So we're going to come back to all that because you just talked about how shy you were and how challenging it was. And now you've rattled off all of these things that you've participated in. Go back to just growing up in San Salvador, El Salvador. And you talked about how you know, it was a very small group of people that you were around, small school. What else about your childhood growing up in San Salvador really stood out?
Well, I think that I was an only child. And so a lot of the time I was alone. And I don't mean that in like a depressing way. You know, it was just, I was alone. Like I was an only child. I was the only cousin for a very long time. I'm the eldest of like my cousins and there aren't that many right now anyway. And I think that that led me to just be very comfortable with my own company, which is good. But it kind of played into just me being very scared of like going up to other people because I never had that. That being said, I was in my head a lot. And when I was in my head, I was just dreaming. I was just dreaming. And I always told myself like, dream big. Like even if I didn't know exactly what that meant when I was like 5 years old, I always told myself I dream big. And I knew that I wanted to pursue more than what I was seeing back home. And that's very weird for me to say because I lived very comfortably. Like I still live very comfortably over there. It's not like something was missing necessarily. I always had this like drive to like just explore, you know, like this curiosity for like more. And I didn't know what that more entailed. It was more. And so from a very young age, I knew that I wanted to study abroad. I don't remember when it was that I learned about studying abroad. I just know that I've wanted that for forever. It feels like it at least.
How did you decide on the US and specifically Lycoming College?
I went to an American high school. It's called the American School of El Salvador, actually. So the vast majority of people over there, they study abroad, but specifically most of them go to the US. And I think that that's where it came from. I have some family members in the US, not a lot. And overall, like the country is very influenced by American media and American culture. So I think that the US was just like always in the back of my head. And even at 4, 5 years old, like, you know what Harvard is somehow. So I kind of had the idea of like, you know, you go study in the US and that's how I came about it, I guess. Europe to me was just always very interesting. But I think that when I grew older and I could like figure out why exactly I was more interested in the US, I could reason it by saying like, you know, I like living on campus. I like the idea of like discovering, like taking classes and like things that are not related to my major. That's why I was always so very like interested in liberal art colleges. And again, like goes into again, like my curiosity, right? Like I was just always so like eager to kind of like just learn new stuff. That was an aspect that I really liked about the American school system. About Lycoming College specifically, I didn't know about LICO until maybe 2 weeks before I applied. I got very excited with college applications, like embarrassingly excited.
So what did that look like? Like, were you shooting videos of yourself and sending those in or?
I mean, almost did. An application for Tulane actually required me to submit a video, but I don't remember if I actually did that anyway. But the thing is that I discovered that there was a limit to the number of applications that you could submit at the Common App. I'm just going to put it that way. There is a limit. So it was fun to me. Again, I've been dreaming about this since forever. I don't even remember when it was that I started dreaming about this. So to me, just like writing those essays was like, this is what I've been waiting for. Like this is it. Enjoy the journey. I was just like so happy about it. And so I was looking for colleges, as I did in my spare time, you know, and I was using, I think it's called Big Future, you know, like a search engine for colleges. And there's like a big filter box. And I just started like clicking all the stuff that I wanted in college and the aid and the, you know, academics and this and that. And Lyco just popped up. So I looked a little bit more into what the school was like, and I liked it. So I applied because, you know, why not? Ended up being the first school to get back to me, actually, and ended up being the school that gave me the most money. So I was like, you know, this is a good choice.
So Lycoming is in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, yes, which is the birthplace of Little League baseball, and where they have the Little League World Series every year, where all these international teams are coming to play. So it's kind of appropriate that as an international student, you would go to a spot like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sadly, I haven't been here when Little League has been happening, but it is very interesting to think that I just ended up in a place that is so fitting to what I wanted to do. My family grows coffee back home, and so there's even like a coffee brand that the school has. And before COVID, they used to take people to Puerto Rico to like learn about the coffee production and all that stuff. So I just think that it's so bizarre how the universe works sometimes. And it just kind of, even if it's the place that you didn't necessarily like see yourself in for at first, it just ends up being the best for you, you know?
Your family grows coffee back in Salvador?
Yeah, we grow coffee. We have land and we grow our own coffee.
Okay, we're probably getting some of that because I'm in Seattle. So you guys are probably supplying a lot of our coffee habits here.
Probably. I am trying to tell them to start a brand because we actually grow really good coffee. Like, it's not just a brag. I know it's my family, but it's really good. Like,
now, you studied at an American high school, right? American school. And so you were fluent in English coming to the U.S. You had grown up speaking English. You have a really unique perspective on the challenges you found between making friends in El Salvador with your Spanish and making friends in the U.S. with your English. Talk a little bit about that challenge that you felt because of the language, even though you were fluent in English, and talk about things that you did to overcome those challenges and really find your true voice.
Yeah, well, I think that when I came to the U.S., I found myself in a place where I couldn't do certain mannerisms that I just grew up doing. And like, that's how I knew that I was going to get people like to interact with me, you know, if that makes sense. I just, in Spanish, there's like a certain voices that I do, certain like expressions that I kind of like throw in.
What are some examples?
Oh, I don't know. Like, it's just a way to speak. I don't know. It would have to be in conversation, like, because I can't think of any right now, but it's something that comes to me naturally in Spanish. And that's just like a way that I express my personality. I don't know. Like, I've always considered myself a pretty funny, like goofy person. I'm pretty like chill. A lot of people use that word to describe me. And so when I came to the US and I could only use English, I discovered that a lot of those like mannerisms that I relied on to express that of myself was just like not going to work here, because obviously it's a new language. And I was stuck for a little bit because I didn't realize it for a long time, actually, probably not until like my second semester, that I hadn't really discovered how to express my personality in English. I just, sure, like I understood people when they talked to me, like I never had any issues with translation or anything like that. But I think that back then I was also a little bit slower with how I spoke. And just up until then, I wasn't using English to express 100% of my thoughts on a daily basis. So I think that the way that I overcame that is just, oh God, I don't know, probably like mimicking at first, just what I saw from other people that I really liked, and I liked their energy. And so maybe like, I do have that a lot, actually, when I really like someone, I'm really close to someone, I adopt certain mannerisms or a certain way of like expressing themselves into like my own personality. And I think that I started doing that a lot more intentionally. and consciously in order to be able to kind of like find my own voice, you know? And it's funny actually, because that's how I kind of go about doing my art. I kind of like draw inspiration from like other artists, and like as I am trying to mimic them, I do my own thing. So that's something that I just thought about actually. So I guess that's my whole creative process for you. But yeah, like it took me a while to really get comfortable with like speaking English and making friends in English. Probably, I want to say last semester was like when I really just sat myself and I was like, Val, like you no longer have an issue making friends. Like you are completely comfortable. You can go up to someone, start a conversation, and you don't think twice about it. And that was crazy.
That's huge.
To come to realize.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because people will always tell you like Rome wasn't built in a day. Everybody has heard that saying since forever ago, but you don't really, it's a really hard pill to swallow because of how hard people are on themselves, especially like how hard I am on myself. You always expect so much of yourself and you beat yourself up when you're not seeing the results you want, but you really have to trust the process and admit that Rome wasn't built in a day and it's going to take a couple of years, a few months. It depends on what you're doing. But it pays off.
Yeah. No, I can totally relate to just beating ourselves up. And I can beat myself up with the best of them on just, it's not happening quick enough. I want things to feel better right now. And it's so hard. And I think you had some health and wellness techniques and things that you implemented into your life to kind of help you through some of that. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. Some of the techniques that I got me through, like some of the hardest times here, were the few people that really I connected with from the very start. Because even if I didn't feel like they were like close friends from the very beginning, there were always people that you just, you know, you have a gut feeling sometimes like you're, you know, you're special. Like we have something special. And like that closeness, I think, even if you feel like you may not be as close as like my friends from forever ago, there's still that care that you have for each other. And I think that knowing that that was there was really comforting when I felt the most alone. I'm not someone who also like asks for help. That's one of my most toxic traits. I don't ask for help. I don't recognize that I need help most of the time, that I do need the help. And so for the longest time, I was just like struggling and I didn't know how to vocalize that. I didn't know that was going on really. Cause I've always been someone who's like, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. I can handle this. I'm okay. So that was one big thing. And then another thing was just becoming more bold. It's easier said than done, of course, but I think that I started to really, really get out of my comfort zone, like really like start to like take action into like, okay, like we need to fix this by just being more vocal about what I wanted. That's something that I actually tell every international student that I meet whenever they come to LICO or the States, is don't be afraid to ask for what you want from campus or from an employer or from wherever. You know, I think that a lot of people are very afraid to just ask for an opportunity, you know, ask for a chance or ask for a favor because they're afraid of the no. And I understand that. But at the end of the day, like one of the most influential people at LICO actually told this to me, like, if you want something, you got to grab it. Like, you don't wait for it to like fall on your lap. You grab it. It's yours. Mm-hmm. Go for it. And I think that really changed my perspective because I was like, I want friends. I want a career. I want this. I got to go for it.
I can relate to everything you're saying on so many levels. It is. It just becomes that situation where is the pain of a no more painful or less painful than the possibility of getting that yes?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you were really able to make that shift for yourself. And it sounds like it opened up so many things for you.
Yeah. You're always going to regret something. And this is something that I've kind of like learned recently, really. You're always going to regret whatever decision that you make. It's just a matter of thinking to yourself, what are you going to regret less? And maybe, you know, like sometimes there's that decision that's just like golden, you know, you're 100% happy with it. You want to change a thing, but what are you going to regret less? Like you're going to regret making a fool of yourself, you know, in your head, at least of, oh, I asked for this. I said, no, I'm embarrassed now. I regret that. Or are you going to regret just not even going for it? And that to me is scary because, again, I grew up with a lot of dreams, a lot of expectations, a lot of aspirations. And to me, just like not even attempting to achieve like what I want is terrifying, because that means that I'm doing a disservice to that little girl, you know, that grew up in El Salvador and was alone in her room, just like dreaming about being someone one day.
And so what would you say to maybe other students who were in similar spots to you back in El Salvador, thinking about coming to study in the US or overseas, and they're feeling insecure and feeling unsure if they can do it? What messages would you give them?
I think that it's all, this is kind of like what marketing teaches you, actually. You need to find a pain point. You need to find a desire in yourself and build a mission off of that. And your mission is the most sacred thing you have, because that is what will keep you going. And that is what will prevent you from going off the road. It's very, I don't want to say like off road, because like, you know, life is just like a crazy journey. And like one day you think you're going to be here, but then you end up like being all the way over there, and that's fine. But like, you need to be very aware of what you want, even if that changes. And when you know like what you're looking for, it is, I don't want to say easier, but it is easier to go through the hardships of it, because you know that at the end, it's going to be worth it, you know?
Yeah, you have a focus. You have something to keep your sights on.
Exactly.
Which makes total sense. Yeah.
A really good friend of mine last year, I was very sad over a few occurrences that had happened to me in my personal life. And I was telling him, I think I failed. I think that I came to the States and I feel like I don't have that network that I thought I would have. I don't have this and that that I thought that I would have by now. And I think that I failed myself. And he looked at me and he was like, Val, you don't actually fail. You don't actually like lose until you give up on yourself. Oh, oh, that was powerful.
That opens some things up, right?
That was definitely like a marking moment of my life, because he looked at me in the eye and he was like, Val, you don't fail until you give up on yourself. Like, I want you to understand that. It's true. I mean, you're going to struggle, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to struggle. It's going to, can I say suck?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. You can use much worse words than that.
Okay.
For what you just said, sucks. Yeah, sucks seems kind of tame for what you just talked about. Like, okay. But we'll stick with that. That works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to suck sometimes, but you got to just keep pushing through it, because you don't lose until you give up on yourself.
Yeah. You're the perfect example of all the things that you're doing and how you've stuck with it and what you've overcome from those insecurities and the shyness to be doing all the things that you're doing right now, because you've got that focus and because you created that mission for yourself. It's a great example for other students in El Salvador and around the world thinking about coming to study in the US. So thank you for sharing that and for all of your openness and honesty in those challenges. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you one other thing, because we've talked a little bit about language and I think it's appropriate because you brought up sucks. So what are your favorite slang words in English and what are your favorite slang words in Spanish?
Oh my God. Okay. So slang in English is, I don't want to say it's always been a struggle, but like there's some slang words that I don't understand. Like oof. I really like oof because I think it's really funny because of how I learned it.
Where did you learn it and when, how do you use it?
I thought it was off. Like, like off. I thought it was like a short for of course. So when people said like oof, I read it as off, like, of course it did. Like, of course that happened. And so for years, I used oof as in off with like one friend, and he has really like bad anxiety. So like, maybe that was it. But like, when we discovered that I was using it wrong, he was like, you know, you've been using that on me like a lot. And I always thought that you were like calling me a disappointment. So every time that you said that, I was like, oh no.
He's like, just trying to share with you, like, oh my God, I just had the most incredible day. This was awesome. And you wanted to say like, of course it was. But instead you said, oof. And he's like, oh, now I feel terrible about the day that I was sharing with you.
Exactly. So that was, that's a funny one to me. Another one, I think "and I oop," that's the most telling like slang word of my generation. I think it's funny when people use it. What other ones? I hate "finna," actually. I don't like this one. I know you didn't ask that, but I hate it because I don't understand it.
Okay.
I don't understand how to use it, and it just frustrates me.
Finna?
Finna, yeah. Fina, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay.
But as for Spanish,
yeah.
I don't know if this counts as like a slang word, but it's more like an expression. It's like "hain." So it's funny. Like it's funny, but it's basically like when you're kind of trying to almost like make fun of someone. I guess it's a bit mean, but like almost like make fun of someone or like telling them that they're cringy or something. They go like, "hain." Really? What else? I guess I love "mahe" because it's like a way to refer to someone, but it feels like very like it has the same energy as "bro" to me.
Mahe or vahe?
Yeah.
Mahe. Okay.
So like "mahe, ¿qué piensas de eso?" So like, "bro, what do you think of this?" Like, I really like the energy that it brings. I don't know. It makes you feel more familiar with the person. So I really like using that. But yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Of course.
Valeria Rene Rivera, trippingly off the tongue.
You said it very well, actually.
And give me the last name, the very last part.
Renjifo. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to International Student Stories. And thank you to our team for putting together this episode. Stories are meant to be shared, so please pass the story on to a friend or family member who needs to hear a good story. A few other quick notes. I invite you to check out the show notes if you want more details on some of the topics discussed in this episode. For all the latest podcast news, stop by our website, studyintheusaglobal.com/podcast. That's STUDY in the USA global.com/podcast. Subscribe to the International Student Stories podcast to be alerted on new episodes. And contact us if you know of a current or former international student whose story needs to be shared with the world. Goodbye for now, be well, and much love to each and every one of you.